Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 16. See, Brother Brad is here. Thank the Lord. God's already used him over there. Blessing choir practice at 5 this afternoon. And thank the Lord for Brad. I want to invite you. I didn't do it earlier. Come to the Wednesday morning service. It is absolutely awesome. It's growing every week. We have a great time in here in the morning service. And we start at 11. This past Wednesday is the first Wednesday that I went much over 12. And it went too far over, but it was over 12 because we want you to get out and go back and have plenty of time to have lunch and fellowship together. And so I want to invite all our friends on the internet. You've not been able to come to the main services. We hope you'll come on Wednesday morning. Or if you're able to come during the week, you don't have to be a senior. We have some people coming who are not seniors that come to the morning service on Wednesday morning because of shift work, first one thing or another, just opportunity to be here. But we have a great lunch together. And Brad does a fantastic job with the music, and we always have special music. And then I'll bring a message. And I hope that you'll be a part. Come be with us. Now, this coming Wednesday morning, Brother Brad's going to be doing it for us. Do you know that? Okay, all right. Because we're going to Pennsylvania, amen, with the group to see Sight and Sound. And we're looking forward to that. Did I tell you Numbers chapter 16? Numbers chapter number 16. And you pray for Tim. Tim's preaching down in Florida this morning, and he had two or three preaching engagements while he was gone. They had gone down to do some things for her, Wendy's mom, and for his mom. And then God opens doors for him to preach while he's down there. And I'm so thankful we got, and Brother LaVon, I'm glad he was here this morning because the next several Sundays he's preaching other places. And I'm just thankful we've got a lot of good men of God around here that are preaching places. And when I went to Valdosta, Georgia, the pastor talked with them about different things. Regina gave me a list. She said, you be sure to tell them about this, because she really didn't want to go. She was trying to keep us from having to go. Tell them you have a Christmas tree and all those things. She was telling me all those things to tell them. But at any rate, but I told them, I said, you know, one thing is I preach a lot of revivals. I always have ever since God called me to preach 50-something years ago. I don't know why, but I'm preaching a lot of revivals. And you know, they said, well, we wouldn't want to preach it that nobody want to hear no way. And so we're glad that people want you to come. So, and I'm so thankful we've got men of God around here that churches want them to come. I want you to look with me, please, in this passage of scriptures in Numbers chapter 16. I want to begin looking at this story with a little bit of background. Of course, they have come out of Egypt and Moses is leading them out. And here's an instance that happens. Notice verse, if you will, in chapter number 16. I want to begin reading with the first part of this. There's a group of people here named Korah, and then Dathan and Abiram. These guys have kind of, they've been talking about Moses. They've been criticizing his leadership and Aaron, and they've gathered a group around them. And notice in verse 2, and they arose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. These were good men, but these other people, Korah and them, have kind of swayed them against God's man. And so they gather up. Notice verse 6, and they gather themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Now they're saying that Moses, why are you leading? We got all these other people. Number one, if you've ever read the account of the nation of Israel, that they're not all holy, I promise you that. But they said, all these, they're just as good as you are. Why are you in place of leadership? You take too much responsibility. You're making all these decisions about where we go and when we stop. But the truth of the matter is, Moses wasn't doing any of that. It was God. And also, Moses didn't choose that job. God chose him, called him at the burning bush and wanted him to go. He didn't even want to go. And he made every excuse he could for not being used of God to lead him out. But God had him to do that. But notice it go on. It says in verse number 10, and when Moses heard this, he fell on his face. He senses something that's very, very wrong. And I think he's fearful for these men's lives at that point. And he falls on his face and he pleads and he doesn't say what he said, but he's praying. And then he gets up and he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are His and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. And do this, take you censers Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy, and ye take too much on, and ye take too much on you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seem it but a small thing unto you that God of Israel have separated you into the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? You see, God had anointed Korah and called Korah. They had places of leadership, but they wanted to be the big dog. They wanted to be the leader. They wanted to rule. God had given them a place to rule, to serve and at the tabernacle. And it's a unique thing. And Moses said, man, do you understand what an honor it is that God's called you to do what you're doing? Verse 11, and he brought, and he hath brought thee near to him and all the brethren of the sons of Levi to thee to seek the priesthood. And for this cause, both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron and that you murmur against him? And Moses sent and called Dathan and Abiram and sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except that thou make thyself together a prince over us? They got that attitude. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that floweth with milk and honey and given us inheritance fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men and will not come up? Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they of Aaron tomorrow. And then he said, and take every man a censer and put incense in them and bring them before the Lord, every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each one of you censers. And they took every man a censer and put fire in them and laid censers thereof and stood at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them. Now he's gathered up about the whole group of Israel. And they're nearly about all now gathered up against Moses. And they come to the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, separate yourself from the congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. He's getting ready to annihilate the whole crowd. Watch this, the men of God. And they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin? And wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, and saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Amram. And Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Amram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sin. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Amram, and on every side, and Dathan and Amram came out and stood at the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their children. And Moses said, hereby shall you know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But the Lord made a new thing, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass that he has made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder, and that was under them, and the earth opened up his mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men and that appertain unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertain unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up over them, and they perished from among the congregation." That's pretty stiff right there. That's pretty strong. Cabot would say that's right strong. That's pretty strong. God opened up the earth, and they swallowed all these that were bringing an accusation against Moses, rebel against Moses, Korah and all his crowd, and Dathan and Amram, all of them, all their families, all their children, their tents, everything went down into the pit, and the earth closed up over them. Now notice verse 34, "And all Israel were round about them, fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also." Why did they say that? Why did they say that? Because they knew they were sinners too. They knew that they had been in rebellion as well, and they saw the judgment on that group. And so they fled away, and it would appear that they repent. But now skip on down, and I want to pick up at verse number 41. "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord." And then it goes on, and because of that, God sends a plague among the people immediately. And then Moses came in verse 43, "And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle congregation, and the Lord speaking to Moses, get you up from among the congregation, I will consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces." Now, once again, he's pleading for all of these people, but the plague's already started. And after they prayed in verse 46, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein, and from off the altar and put an incense, and go quickly before the congregation to make an atonement for them. For there is wrath come out of the Lord, and the plague is begun. And so Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran amidst the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died of the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about Korah. Oh, listen, here's an awful thing that happened. All this is going on one time. Now, I want you to notice something else. I'm going to just read a quick verse here, not much. Look at verse 8. They continue on now with this same scenario, and it says in verse number 8, "And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of the witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron's house, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds." What he's done now, he said, "I want every one of the leaders of all the tribes to bring their rod," which is just an old dry stick, a staff. And then he took Aaron's rod, and they put it in the tabernacle, and on tomorrow, the next day, Aaron's rod had budded and brought forth almonds. Now, if you may not have noticed it, but if you'll look back with me, I want you to look back at what I was pointing out to you, what I want to point out to you. Back in chapter 16, look at verse number 5. "And he spake unto Korah and to the congregation, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy." And then, you know what happened? The earth swallowed them. And then you notice in verse number 34, that the people weep and run to their tent. It appears that they repented. But now notice verse 44, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of children of Israel murmured against Moses." And then he has them the plague comes, and he has them to stay that plague, but too late, 14,700 already dead. And then he tells them to take the rods and put it there. And then it said in chapter number 17, verse 4, and it said, "It came to pass on the morrow, that when Moses went into the tabernacle, Aaron's rod had budded." On the morrow. You know what? As I was reading through this devotionally this last few days, God began to deal with my heart about this simple little thought, and I'll share it with you quickly and we'll go. Time will tell. Time will tell. He said, they said, "Moses, you took too much on you. We're all just as holy as you are." But God said, "Tomorrow, because time will tell." And then it appears that they repented, but just tomorrow, they are not repentant. they're still bringing accusations against Moses. Time will tell. And then they put the rod of Moses, of Aaron and those other men in the tabernacle on one day, and tomorrow Aaron's rod had budded. Time will tell. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help me, God, to share with these people what you put on my heart. I pray, God, by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, not by men or my own will or, Lord, anything, but God, I pray the Spirit of the living God to speak to hearts. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, would deal with them, speak to them. And God, I pray that we'd be, Lord, understand the truth of this simple little statement, time will tell. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now would speak, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you understand clearly the story that takes place here. They've come against Moses and Aaron and ultimately against the Lord. And God speaks to them and speaks to Moses, and Moses tells them what to do, tells Korah and all that crowd to bring their censers. It's a little device that had a little bowl on it, and they would put incense in, they'd put fire on it, and the incense would go up. The priest used those in temple worship. And they said that you've taken too much on you. You're not God's chosen man. We're just as good as you, anybody else. But Moses told them what to do, and then it says, on the morrow. And so time told, and he said, on the morrow, you know who God's chosen. You know who's in the will of God, and on the morrow. Same way with that act of repentance. They act like they were repenting. They were sad. But time will tell, and just a few days later, on the morrow, they again brought an accusation and rebelled against Moses on the morrow. And then when he got those rods and he put them in the tabernacle one day and trying to show them God's anointing on Aaron as well as on Moses, and on the morrow, Aaron's rod had been brought back to life and blossomed and brought almonds. Time will tell. And in Christian life, and in any kind of life, time will tell. Time will tell. In the first place, time will tell if you're really saved or not. Time will tell if you really trusted Christ or not, if you've been born again or not. You see, there are a lot of people who've made professions of faith, who've raised their hand and done this, that, and the other, and yet there's no change in their life. And then there are those who have embraced the thought and the actions of Christianity and got involved in a church somewhere. And they do things. But they're much like that crowd in the Bible where the Lord said, I've watched you. You've done all these good deeds. Have we not done this? Have we not done that? They said. And he said to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You could be involved in all type of religious activity and embrace the moral character of Christianity, but never ever been born again by the grace of God. You could have never trusted him and had a change in your heart and a change in your life. But time will tell. Time will tell if you're really saved or not. You'll know one of these days, and nobody else will probably know, but you'll know. Time will tell. You remember the story in the Bible where the Bible talks about those that they sowed good seed out in the field, and it came up, but during the night the enemy came and sowed weeds in there. And they also sprang up. And then when the servants saw that, they said, should we go out and pull up all the tares, all those things that are not real wheat? He said, no, don't pull them up right now. He said, if you do that, you might uproot some good seed. He said, just leave it to harvest. And time will tell. At the harvest, there'll be a difference. At the harvest, there'll be a separation between wheat and tares. And time will tell whether or not you're saved or not, whether or not you have genuinely repented of your sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. And sadly, I'm afraid, as Billy Graham said one time, he was afraid that probably 70% of professing church have never had a conversion experience, been born again by the grace of God. But time will tell. Time will tell. That's why he said it's so important for us, the Bible said, for us to examine ourselves to see whether or not we be in the faith. Not to doubt our salvation or question our salvation, but to know for sure that we're saved beyond any shadow of a doubt. And the testimony that will assure you of your salvation is the Word of God. I don't want any man to move me emotionally or any other way. I want the Word of God to speak to my heart. Do you line up with the Word of God? Was the Holy Spirit of God come in your heart crying, Abba, Father? did God give you an appetite? I was talking to a friend the other day whose daughter, grown daughter, just recently made a profession of faith and got saved. She got born again by the grace of God. She'd made a profession of faith when she was younger, got baptized when she was younger, but there was never a change. But this time it was different. And he said, I just marvel at her desire to know the Word of God, read the Word of God, and be in worship. I said, people born, they got an appetite. I was talking to Brandon yesterday about, congratulations, by the way, they're not here, but the great-grandparents are here. And we're thankful for Brandon and Jessica and for the little baby that was born. And she's a precious little girl, but he was talking about her trying to learn how to eat. But she's born hungry. She's like a great-granddaddy. She was born hungry. Me and Jane, we'd born hungry. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you have an appetite. But if you don't have an appetite, something's wrong with you. Either you're not right with God spiritually or you're not saved altogether. But time will tell. Time will tell about those who are saved. Time will tell, my dear friend, about the things that we've done, about the wages of sin. Sometimes people live in sin and they seem like they're getting by. And some of those who are saved and living for God, they're not doing those things. They're not prospering as much as others. But time will tell the wages of sin. It's coming. Payday's coming someday. His judgment is swift, but it's not always as quickly as we think it's going to be. It's going to be time. And his long suffering for those who are out of his will, those who sin. But the wages of sin is death. That's a truth. And time will tell that the wages of sin is death. There are those who are prosper and are rich and other things. And then those who name the name of Christ just get by on modest means. The wages of sin is death. But time will tell about that. There'll be a time when everything they've had won't buy them one drop of water. My dear friend, time will tell who's saved. Time will tell that the wages of sin is death, and it'll be costly. Sometimes people engage in that sinful activities and there's no immediate result to that sin. There's no immediate consequence to that sin. But God's judgment is coming. It's coming sooner than you think. And time will tell that the wages of sin is death. But then the time will tell about our quality of service, about what we're doing for God. I was telling Brother Barry, I was talking to Roy Rigdon yesterday, and he said, I'm sitting here looking out the window at squirrels. He said, they're everyone Baptist squirrels. I said, what do you mean they're Baptist squirrels? He said, they're always eating and always busy. They're Baptist squirrels. But a lot of people are busy, busy, busy. And we keep records and we've done this for God, we've done that for God. But time will tell. I think Paul was wise when he said, God is my record. God is my record. Who's saved and who's not saved? And time will tell about our Christian service. You know, the Bible says that we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We have to give an account for the things done in our body, whether they were good or bad. And our works will be tried by fire. And he said, if it's anything that is gold, silver, precious stones, they'll abide. But if it's wood, hay, stubble, it'll be burned up. Now, the reason he said that, because some people's labor is going to be burned up because they did it out of a motivation of the flesh. They didn't do it because of the Holy Spirit of God. They wasn't doing it with God's way. They wasn't doing it to honor God. They were doing it for the glory of men. The Pharisees loved to give, but they loved to give so everybody could see them. They would sound a trumpet. They would ring a bell. They'd make some big thing when they gave any kind of money. And yet the opposite of that is that widow who came in before the Lord and just quietly put her two mites in the treasury. And the Lord looked around. He said, this woman's giving more than anybody here today. She gave all she had. She gave all she can. And I'm going to tell you something. God, one of these days, time will tell whether our service is effective or not, whether it was genuine or not. Whether we talk, I hear people all the time in ministry and different things, and I'm so leery of that. Talking about all these people got saved and all. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, I don't keep a record. And a good man, he had a great ministry and everything. He said, I don't keep any kind of records like that. He said, I'm afraid when I get to heaven, my record won't match his. I want it to match his. But time will tell if what we're doing is real and genuine or not, whether or not we've really been used of God or not, whether or not. But listen, the other side of the coin is this. There are some of us, some of you, that nobody knows what you're doing. they don't recognize all that you do for God. Those quiet prayer times in the closet when you're praying for your pastor and for the church and for souls to be saved, when you're bathing your loved ones in prayer, nobody sees you, nobody knows. Those times when you speak to somebody in the Walmart or somewhere else or give out a tract and witness, nobody knows anything about that. But time will tell. One of these days, my dear friend, God the Holy Ghost will reveal all those people you spoke to, all those people you witnessed to, all those people that you prayed for and how God answered your prayer. Time will tell. Time will tell. Time will tell about the awards of a Christian. I repeat this story, and I know you've heard it a million times, but I hope it'll help us. It's one of the best I've ever heard to illustrate what I want to say. Time will tell. There was a story of a missionary who'd served many years. He gave his whole life on a foreign field, winning souls for Christ. And he was coming home on a certain ship. Just so happened one of the presidents of the United States had been off on a hunting trip in Africa or somewhere. And as they ported in New York Harbor, there were bands there playing and dignitaries there. And they had all the other pastors to wait aside. And then the president came out. Boy, they clapped and hooped and hollered and played the music. And there was big fanfare. And they came down the gangplate. Boy, they just welcomed them with open arms. And then they all went off. And then after a while, they let them off. And one of the last people to come down the gangplate was that missionary. And he came to a lonely dock. Nobody there to greet him. Nobody to welcome him. And his heart sank. And his heart was broken. And he said, God, all these years I've loved you and served you. And now I'm here. I've come home. And there's nobody to greet me. There's no celebration. And the Holy Ghost of God said to him, son, you're not home yet. You wait till you get home. And my dear friend, there's time will tell what you do for God. Don't you worry about what people say or what they don't say, whether they give you great acclaim or whether they ignore you completely. God's keeping the books. God's keeping the record. And time will tell if you've prayed earnestly, if you've been faithful to read the Word of God, if you've witnessed at every opportunity. You may not have your gun notched with a lot of notches to say, I've won so many people to Christ and I've done all these things. But if you were faithful to the Lord, He hadn't forgot that. Time will tell. Time will tell all the tears that you've shed. Nobody knows how you wept and burdened over your family and prayed. But the Bible said God's got a tear bottle and He's kept every one of them. And time will tell the sincerity of your prayers. Time will tell. He called us to say that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And you've prayed and you sought God and sometimes you think, I'm the worst prayer in the world. I don't have any power in prayer. I don't see anything happen. But you don't ever know what God's doing behind the scene. You don't ever know the results of your prayer. And besides that, after you're dead and gone, God still answers your prayers. You've just been putting it in a banking account and it's going to draw interest down the road. Time will tell the effectiveness of your prayer life. The tears that you shed, time will tell that God has honored your prayers and He's answered your prayer the way that He chose to. Time will tell. Time will tell, my dear friend, the true prophets and those who are false. Time will tell. People all the time ask me, what do you think about this preacher? What do you think about that preacher? I try not to comment because I don't know. I have an opinion, and I know if they're not preaching the Word of God, they're not preaching the gospel, if they're a cult or whatever. But you remember that time when the disciples came to the Lord and said, Lord, there's some people over there that's preaching and they're baptizing. And said, we ought to go tell them to quit. And He said, no. He said, if they're not against me, they're for me. And some people may not act like I like. They may not like I do. They may not believe every little thing I believe. They're doing things a little different than we would do it. But time will tell. Time will tell what was real. And today, sometimes there seems to be this overemphasis on bigness. I mean, everything's super big and great crowds and everything. And people respond and all those things. And I'm for anything that gets people saved. But time will tell. Time will tell what's real and what's not real in regard to the truth of the Word of God. Time will tell. He said He'd honor His word. It would not return void. And time will tell. Sometime I preach and sometime teachers teach and they don't see any results. But time will tell. God promised. He said, my word will not return void. And time will tell about the effectiveness of the Word of God in your life, in another's life. And not only so far as preachers and missionaries, but your life, your word, whatever you share with the Word of God with somebody. And you say, it's like water off a duck's back. You don't ever know. You don't ever know what's in their heart. You don't ever know what God's doing. Time will tell, though, about the effectiveness of the Word of God. Time will tell about the truth of the Word of God as opposed to modern science. Right now, what used to be a theory of evolution is taught just full-blown evolution in public schools and everywhere else. In the last several years, it's become a fact instead of a theory. A theory means something that might be so, it might not be so. But everybody has embraced evolution, and yet there's no scientific proof that there's any evolutionary processes going on right now. There are species adaptations in certain areas, but no species change, no change in between species. There's no evolution, but they teach it every day. And for those of us who believe the Bible and say that God created the world, God created all the animals, we are the idiots. Can I tell you something? Time will tell. Can I tell you, in my early ministry, it really bothered me when I got around people who were intellectuals like that, scientists and doctors and everything else. But somewhere along the line, God did a little work in my heart, and He told me, time will tell. You just stay faithful to the Word of God. They have all the data, they have all the programs, they've got all the printed material, everything else. But time will tell if the Bible is true or they are true. It'll come out one of these days and you'll know. And this little thought came to my mind, and I was ugly that particular day. I guess I was in a bad mood or something, but I was in with a doctor, and he said something pretty smart along that line, you know, about, you know, condescending about me being a preacher. And I said, well, doc, I'm going to tell you something. If I live long enough, I'll bury every one of your successes in this community. Every success you have, I'll bury them, because what you do is temporal, but what I do is eternal. And time will tell the difference. Is this Bible true or not? Can you believe it? I promise you, time will tell if this Bible is true or not. Time will tell if Jesus is the only way to heaven or not. You can believe anything you want to. You can believe in any cult or any other religion you want to, but time will tell. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me except the Spirit of God draw him. Time will tell. Time will tell if Jesus is the only way to heaven or not. Time will tell. And here's the thing about it. I can believe what I believe, and if I'm annihilated at death, if I'm just going into an unconscious state and don't know anything, I've not missed anything. I've enjoyed my life as a Christian. I can still do everything that's wholesome and real. I've enjoyed my family. I've enjoyed me and Regina being together. I love to fish. I love to do all those things, but I don't have to get drunk to enjoy them. I don't have to take drugs to enjoy them. I don't have to be unkind. I don't have to commit adultery. I don't have to do any of those things. And I can live a Christian life and have the best time in the world. And if I die and it's over with, that's okay. I know that's not so. But if you believe the way you believe and you live like you live and what this Bible said is so, that Jesus is the only way, then he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Time will tell. Time will tell. In other words, you've got everything to gain if you trust Jesus, but everything to lose if you don't trust Jesus. Time will tell if there's a heaven or if there's a hell. Nobody convinced me there was a heaven. Nobody convinced me there was a hell. I just believe it. You say, why do you believe it? I can't really explain it to you. I think it's kind of like what the Bible said. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I got an idea that God just gifted me faith. I got an idea that it's not through my intellect or through somebody's persuasiveness that I believe what I believe. I believe God the Holy Ghost did a work in my heart. I believe He put faith inside of me. I believe He caused me to believe this Bible. And can I prove to you there's a heaven? Can I prove to you there's a hell? No, but time will tell. Time will tell. There was a man living in a certain city, and he was well known. He'd been very successful in that city. As a matter of fact, he was extremely rich. Probably voted man of the year many times. I'm sure he's probably benevolent, helped a lot of people in the community. Because when he died, there was great fanfare and great pomp. But there's another man in that same city who his lot was to be a beggar. And he was not well and healthy. He had sores on him. Dogs came and licked his sores. Moreover, he begged bread crumbs from that rich man's table. But time will tell. And it came to pass that the rich man died. And he left behind all of his friends. And he left behind all of his successes. And he left behind all of his riches. And in hell, the Bible said, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And he begged Lazarus, that old beggar, to come and dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. But on the other hand, Lazarus died and was carried into the very bosom of Abraham. And he said, I can't cross that gulf. And God says to the man, you're tormented now, but he's comforted because time will tell. Time will tell if there's a heaven. Time will tell if there's a hell. I'm sure glad to know that there is a heaven. It's a real place. And who can go? Anybody who trusts Jesus. Who'll go to hell? Everybody that doesn't trust Jesus. That's the only qualification. Have you been born again by the grace of God? And time will tell. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Pray the Holy Ghost of God spoke to your heart. Not wanting anybody to create any kind of doubt in you about whether you're saved or not, unless it's the Holy Ghost reminding you that you need to be born again by the grace of God. But time will tell. Time will tell. And you can fool the preacher, you can fool your husband, you can fool your wife, you can fool the congregation, you can fool the community. But time will tell whether or not you know the Lord. The Bible said God knows those that are His. Time will tell. Time will tell about the effectiveness of your prayers, about the quality of your service. Time will tell. Time will tell. Time will tell about your reward in heaven, and time will tell about the eternity in heaven or hell. The only thing about that is, at that point in time, nothing you can do about it. But right now, you do have an option. Aaron stood between the dead and the living. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, I'm able to save to the uttermost all that come to me by faith. Will you come to him by faith this morning? You simple faith, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He only extends mercy to sinners, and we're all sinners. But he said, if you'll come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out. I'll save you. Will you trust him this morning? If God spoke to your heart, I'd invite you to come. You believe on him right where you are, but I do believe there's something also very significant about you coming and bowing before the Lord. Maybe you're a Christian, and the book of Revelation in the very few chapters gives a great challenge from our Lord to the churches of Asia. And every one of them just about, they were something. And he said, you ought to repent, you ought to repent, you ought to repent, you ought to repent. God's people need to repent. Our lives ought to be ordered by the Holy Ghost of God. Time will tell what we could have done for Christ that we didn't do. Time will tell what sin in our lives hinders from doing. Time will tell those people who may have died and went to hell because we were not right with him enough to pray or faithful enough to witness, and their blood will be upon our hands. Time will tell. That's why I want to stay close to him as I can. The Lord knows my heart. I tend to wander. I don't want to be that way in these last days. And it's very important that God's people stay close to the cross. Just come to him. Come to him and ask him to renew your power, forgive you, cleanse you, give you a fresh anointing, fill you with the Holy Ghost. I don't know what God wants you to do this morning, but I am certain, just as sure as I'm standing here in these 25 years or more now that I've pastored this church, God put a message on my heart for this day. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, as Brother Brad comes, as Jennifer comes. God, I pray people will do now what they'll be glad for all eternity to have done. I pray, God, that Christians will come. Lord, bow before you once again. thank you for what you've done for them, first of all, but God, maybe some to say, God, purge me and cleanse me. And God, I want to be used of God. I want to walk in the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled afresh and anew with your power and your love this morning. Lord, there are some here who may not know Christ, maybe church members here, church members somewhere else, but they know that they've never had a conversion experience. They've never had a real change of heart and life. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will make it real to them. God, I pray not emotionally, but spiritually, I pray the Holy Spirit of God. We saw evidence of an emotional repentance in the story in the book of Numbers. But then on tomorrow, they went right back to doing the very same thing. God, we don't need anything like that. We need that sorrow, godly sorrow, unto repentance, not to be repented of. Sorrow that would bring them to a place of repentance that they, Lord, will have a change. There'll be a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Some have been praying about a church home, and I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, God, you may have put them here, you've led them here, and God, this is where you want them to serve, and I pray, God, that you'd speak to their heart. The Lord have your way, and I'll thank you and praise you, give you glory for all you do, and we bless your name, Lord.